It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Iran strikes back. That is our top story this Wednesday. Tehran firing 15 missiles at U.S. forces stationed in Iraq overnight. President Trump says there were no American casualties and he does not believe the regime wants to go to war.
All of our soldiers are safe and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down.
The president addressing the nation this morning from the White House with his entire defense team standing behind him.
Nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over.
Last night's missile attack in response to last week's U.S. drone strike that took out Iran's top military commander. Middle East expert Hussein Banai says Iran's response to the assassination was calculated and was limited.
The intensity of the attacks seemed lower than had been feared, which is good news in terms of the escalation.
Military analyst Mike Lyons says this was the best possible outcome in avoiding a war.
This could be more or less a show of force. This could be more or less them trying to show that they can do this, trying to show their people they wanted to respond to this, but knowing full well that if they don't hit anything on the other end, that the Americans probably won't retaliate.
Iraqi officials say Iran notified them when the missile strikes began and that they would be limited. Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif.
It is up to the United States to now come to its senses and stop its adventurism in this region.
The FAA now rerouting all U.S. commercial flights so that no American planes fly over the region over fears they might be shot down. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham on last night's missile strikes by Iran.
This was an act of war. America first means to me, you kill an American, you're going to be the first one we come after.
But Delaware Democrat Chris Coons says it's time to hit the brakes here.
I think it's important that we consult with our allies in the region, that the president consult with Congress, and that he put forward a clear strategy for how to de-escalate this particular situation.
Mike Morrell, the former deputy director at the CIA, thinks last night's missile strike was Iran extending an olive branch to the U.S.
The Iranians have thousands of missiles. So the fact that they only did a dozen signals to me that they wanted to be proportional here, that they wanted to send a message that they don't want to escalate. In terms of the precision of missiles, Iran has all sorts of missiles. Some are precise, some aren't. Until we know exactly what kind of missiles they shot, I don't think we can answer the question about whether they deliberately tried to miss buildings and housing sites.
That's former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morrell. President Trump saying today that sanctions will remain on Iran until the regime changes its behavior. He also says so long as he's president, Iran will never get a nuclear bomb. At the same time Iran was lobbing missiles into Iraq, there was a plane crash at the airport in Tehran. Correspondent Vicky Barker says the regime claims the two incidents not connected.
Combing for the wreckage of the Ukrainian airliner. The Boeing 737 crashed shortly after takeoff. All 176 on board died. It was not one of those still grounded Boeing MAX jets, and the crash was apparently not linked to Iran's missile strikes. Engine failure and early theory.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. U.S. transportation officials, meantime, are not being sent to the region to investigate the crash. For obvious reasons.
It's very difficult for the NTSB to deploy to Iran. So in that case, there's provision for another state to volunteer its services.
That's aviation expert Brian Rayfrey. Police are searching for the suspect after a shooting near Canada's parliament in Ottawa today. Police say one person dead, at least three others hurt. But it's not an active shooter situation right now. That shooting reportedly taking place behind a home. Back in Washington, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he now has the votes to start the Trump impeachment trial once House Speaker Nancy Pelosi releases those two articles of impeachment. McConnell says the issue of witnesses will come in due time.
We'll get around to the discussion of witnesses. We got around to the discussion of witnesses after we got through phase one 20 years ago.
McConnell says he'll use the very same rules the Senate used 20 years ago when it handled the impeachment trial of President Clinton.
Sets up, as you may recall, what could best be described as maybe a phase one, which would include, obviously, the arguments from the prosecution, arguments from the defense.
The Senate leader says it's in the country's best interest to resolve the impeachment issue as quickly as possible. A state of emergency in Puerto Rico today following a series of devastating earthquakes. Correspondent David Begno is there.
Down power lines, buildings reduced to rubble, cars crushed beneath crumbling foundations. It looked as though some areas had been bombed.
I don't know, like something exploded.
We found Samantha Cortez and her family at the shelter set up outside the Guanica Coliseum. First responders were handing out water. They provided medical care and dispersed cots for the hundreds of people who slept here overnight.
That's David Begno reporting from earthquake-ravaged Puerto Rico. Employers adding over 200,000 jobs last month. The payroll processing company ADP says most of those jobs in construction, trade, transportation, and utilities. Still to come this Wednesday, State of the State in New York, winter weather in ski country, and Corning Incorporated in Vegas.
Good afternoon. Lo and behold, it's feeling a little like winter across the region today, looking like winter for some as well. But it won't last. Forecast details are coming up. We'll look for you in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Wednesday, January 8th. Winter weather advisories up until 6 o'clock tonight for western portions of the Twin Tiers. Areas downwind of the Great Lakes, you could be picking up 6 inches of the white stuff.
If you're south of Buffalo in the Snow Belt area, that general area can expect 3 to 5, 3 to 6 today.
That's Bob Hamilton at the National Weather Service in Buffalo. He says those high winds, though, going to be the major concern today.
For the whole course of the day, the main story is going to be the gusty winds and the fact that it'll actually feel like winter for a change.
But it won't last. By this weekend, we'll be above 50 degrees in most places. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo set to deliver his 10th State of the State address at 1:30 this afternoon. He's going to be at the Empire State Plaza Convention Center in Albany. Family Life's Brandon Dixon takes a closer look.
Yeah, Bill, among the governor's plethora of proposals he'll unveil today is a high-speed rail plan to connect the state's major cities. Single-use styrofoam containers could become a thing of the past, too. The governor wants to build off of the plastic bag ban and efforts to protect the environment. And do you vape? The governor doesn't plan on completely banning e-cigs, but he does plan on getting rid of flavored nicotine vaping products. He'll talk about that more today. Also on the governor's wish list, eliminating the pink tax, revamping the Erie Canal, and trying to plug a $6 billion budget deficit. It's all on the governor's to-do list as New York State politics swings back into action today with the annual State of the State address. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Republicans have picked Central New York's William Barclay to be their new minority leader in the state assembly. He's going to replace Brian Kolb, who stepped down from the post after being arrested for DWI on New Year's Eve. New York's new bail reform law generating a lot of controversy. There are reports of suspects being released only to commit new crimes. State Senator Patrick Gallivan says the law, which took effect the first of the year, needs a lot of tinkering.
The main fix, I think, is adding that public safety component so that judges can consider the danger to the community after an individual is arrested and make that determination before they set them free while they're awaiting trial.
The courts right now are in the process of releasing nearly 4,000 inmates from county prisons to comply with the new law. A transgender teenager is suing New York State, claiming a discriminatory policy is preventing them from changing the sex on their birth certificate. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The lawsuit filed in federal court in Albany argues that transgender minors should have the ability to change their New York State birth certificates. The state broadened who can change the sex listed on their birth certificate in 2014 to include those who have not had gender reassignment surgery. The 14-year-old high schooler was born in Ithaca and was listed as a female at birth. The child, who now lives in Texas, started hormone replacement therapy in September, and a court in Texas approved a name change in October. The teen's U.S. passport and Social Security card now list the child as male. The lawsuit seeks to change state policy and adjust the teen's birth certificate. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Reaction is mixed to the guilty plea by the Buffalo Pill doctor, Eugene Gozy. The painkiller specialist faces 6 to 8 years in prison for over-prescribing drugs to patients. Prosecutors say Gozy's actions caused the deaths of half a dozen people.
Doctors are very aware now that when we use opioids, we have to start slow and use the lowest possible dose for the shortest period of time.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen at the University of Buffalo School of Medicine has this advice for anyone suffering with chronic pain.
Don't use opioids unless you've tried almost everything else first. If you do go to a doctor and you really do need opioids, make sure you are aware of the risks of dependence and ultimately slipping into misuse.
Opioid abuse has resulted in hundreds of premature deaths in Erie County, New York in recent years. The district attorney there says there are about 300 deaths a year in the Buffalo area caused by painkiller addiction. A bill aimed at protecting the personal information of nurses and doctors making its way through the General Assembly in Harrisburg. It eliminates the requirement that medical staff display their first and last names on their ID badges. Representative Keith Galepsy says this makes doctors and nurses vulnerable to harassment from patients who can take pictures of those name tags and find out who they are and where they live. According to the Pennsylvania Nurses Association, 75% of medical staff in the Commonwealth have been a victim of workplace violence. A crop originally thought to be a major cash cow for the Commonwealth could end up crushing small farmers who are still sitting on last year's hemp harvest. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Legal experts say pioneering hemp farmers who grew the crop under the state's experimental pilot program may find that their cannabis plants, now stored in barns and warehouses, may be too laden with the intoxicating substance THC to be approved for sale. Several thousands of acres of hemp were planted in Pennsylvania last year. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Politics and farming. That was one of the discussions this week at the Pennsylvania Farm Show. Republican lawmakers say the school lunch ban on whole and 2% milk under the Obama administration killing local dairy farms. Congressman Glenn Thompson has introduced a measure that would bring back whole milk to Pennsylvania schools. From milk to glass, high-tech glass made by a local company on display at the Consumer Electronics Show going on in Vegas. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, Corning Incorporated is showcasing glass technology used for curved interior display systems in vehicles. It'll help the auto industry navigate new trends towards seamless connectivity with mobile devices, dashboards, and entertainment systems. This curved interior display glass enables a more immersive experience for drivers by providing smartphone-like touch sensitivity on the inside windshields of automobiles. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. A Pennsylvania Chick-fil-A doing its best to reunite a young girl with her beloved Minnie Mouse doll. The doll has been Brianna Ramirez's constant companion throughout 40 brain surgeries and 2 strokes to treat a medical condition. Back on January 4th, that doll was lost at a restaurant in Bucks County. The Chick-fil-A now offering a $250 reward and a free meal once a week for an entire year for its safe return. The 13-year-old Ramirez and her family appeared on a local television morning show to raise awareness about the lost doll. NHL action last night in the Big Apple. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, we start on the ice at Madison Square Garden. Rangers knocked off the Avalanche 5-3 to end a 3-game skid. In Las Vegas, Penguins jumped out to a 3-goal lead, outlasting the Golden Knights 4-3 in Vegas.
We certainly weren't at our best. We got a great performance by Tristan in goal. And we've got some opportunistic scoring.
Overtime in Newark.
Up ice with Taves. 3-on-1. Taves, Lee, score!
Andrews Lee with that game winner. The Owls beat New Jersey 4-3. Overtime loss for the Flyers.
Hamilton, wait, fire!
Falling to Carolina 5-4. Overtime loss for the Nets in the NBA. Chris Paul scoring 28 points. Thunder beat the Nets 111-103 in overtime. Hey, Carmelo Anthony with the game winner.
Carmelo, head down, 15-footer away. Got it! Carmelo Anthony drills it straight away!
As the Trailblazers shock the Raptors 101-93, and the Cavaliers lose their fifth straight, falling to the Pistons 115-113.
They beat us by 20 or 30 last time they came in here, and knowing that we can, they beat us at our court, and we just got to try to find a way to do the same on their court. It's not going to be easy.
That's Cavalier head coach John Beilein. College basketball, Penn State shocked by Rutgers 72-61, both teams 12-3 on the year. Buffalo falls to Ball State 88-68. Cornell snapping their 10-game losing streak, beating SUNY Purchase 100-68 in the Dome. Virginia Tech goes on a 21-4 run to beat the Orange 67-63. The Boston Red Sox under investigation after a report the team was stealing signs during the 2018 World Championship season. Evan Drellich of The Athletic.
What these video replay cheating systems allowed teams like the Red Sox to do was to crack that code. You were able to immediately take down this rather elaborate defense that the pitcher and the catcher had set up.
Major League Baseball announced yesterday they will investigate the report, and the team has vowed to cooperate. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, Iran responds. So too does President Trump and dream job at Disney.
Navigating the news, discerning what matters from what doesn't, is a daunting task these days. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it? 2020 just started, and within days, a U.S. drone strike at the Baghdad airport killed Iran's top military leader, Qasem Soleimani. Depending on which news you read, the president's action was either a reckless attempt to light the Middle East on fire and distract Americans from impeachment, or a justifiable act of deterrence in response to Iran's increasing assaults on U.S. troops and interests. And while thousands of Iranians turned out to see Soleimani's casket as it tours the country, Western news media reported that the drone strike has united the previously divided Iranian population behind its dictatorial religious leaders. Or maybe not. Yahoo News painted a different picture of Iranians fearing what comes next and wishing their leaders hadn't steered the country into even more conflict. And that's just the first news story of the year, of 2020. An election year. So how can engaged, thoughtful Christians hope to sift through the spin and stay informed amidst this kind of news chaos? There's simply no way to keep up with the relentless tsunami of information. Even worse, countless stories that we should know about are often buried, while stories more sensational and speculative than substantial dominate the headlines. Every day on Breakpoint, we try to analyze and comment on the most important news events and cultural trends from a Christian worldview. It's part of the Colson Center's ongoing mission to equip believers to understand what's happening around us so that we can live out our faith in the public square with clarity, with courage, and with conviction. And one of our critical partners in this task is World Magazine. World is a source of news and thoughtful analysis like no other. I and the Breakpoint team turn to them frequently. For example, the reporting of World senior editor Mindy Belts has been our most reliable source in understanding the chaos in the Middle East, including given these most recent developments in Iran. Back in early December, Belts reported that Iran was building up its supply of short-range missiles in Iraq. It's the very kind of missiles that struck a U.S. base and killed an American contractor, which in turn led to a U.S. airstrike, then led to the attack on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, which ultimately led to the strike against Soleimani. When news broke that General Soleimani had been killed by a U.S. drone strike, I immediately asked Mindy Belts to join me on the Breakpoint podcast to explain the bigger picture, a picture that's often ignored by an American media fixated on impeachment. World exemplifies the best of journalism from a Christian worldview, without clickbait and without hype. Their print magazine, online articles, and World's podcast, The World and Everything in It, on which I'm a weekly guest, includes not only clear reporting, but also features news about how God is working in the world through His people to restore all things. Now, to begin this year, in return for your gift to the Ministry of Breakpoint and the Colson Center, World Magazine will give you a one-year subscription. I can think of no better way for you to both support our worldview ministry and at the same time, stay on top of the staggering variety of political, cultural, scientific, and religious news, all from a Christian worldview. Now, if you already subscribe to World, which I hope you do, you can actually gift this subscription to a friend or family member. Come to breakpoint.org/January to get this free one-year subscription to World with your next gift to Breakpoint and the Colson Center. That's breakpoint.org/January. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, some winter weather outside. Let's get to it. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Following a front, the temperatures have been dropping and those winds gusting. And the result, we've had some lake effect snow squalls in parts of the area. It's the kind of a situation you're perhaps familiar with, where you have sunshine, then you run into one of the squalls, and visibility is greatly reduced for a short while. But for most, the amounts of snow will be small. In fact, by the time we get to the weekend, temperatures are heading up again, and some spring-like air arrives by Friday afternoon and Saturday. But for this afternoon, it's blustery, with sunshine, flurries, some lake squalls, blowing snow, a couple 3 inches of fluff in snowbelt areas east of the lakes, little elsewhere. Temperatures in the 20s, for the most part, wind chill, single digits, dropping the temperatures will into the teens or upper single digits tonight as lake flurries and winds subside. Then tomorrow, some sunshine, high near 30, milder Friday, cloudy, showers, and high temps in the 40s.
Thank you, Kevin. If you are just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Wednesday, January 8th, busy day. President Trump responding to Iran's missile attacks overnight on U.S. forces stationed in Iraq.
We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases.
The president says Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for the U.S. and the rest of the world.
The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration.
Speaking to the nation from the White House today, the president said so long as he's commander-in-chief, Iran will never get its hands on a nuclear bomb. Michael Morrell, the former deputy director at the CIA, says both sides dodged a bullet here.
We would be hearing from the U.S. military if there were casualties, no doubt about it, and I would believe what they were telling us. I think what we see in Iran is them saying we hit back and we hit hard and there were casualties, and that allows them to de-escalate.
The Iranian missile strikes last night in response to the killing of Iran's top military commander and a U.S. drone strike last week. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says cool heads have got to prevail.
Now more than ever, the United States must be clear-headed and sure-footed about what comes next. The American people do not want a war with Iran, and the president does not have the authority to wage one.
Schumer says the arrow headed in the wrong direction when it comes to U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. President Trump saying today he's ready to embrace peace with all who seek it, including Iran. There are no survivors after a Ukrainian passenger plane with around 180 people on board crashed just after takeoff in Tehran today. Correspondent Laura Podesta.
The plane's black box has been located and will likely help determine the cause of the crash. Iranian officials insist it has nothing to do with the strikes being launched against U.S. bases.
It's Laura Podesta reporting. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy criticizing Speaker Nancy Pelosi for delaying submission of articles of impeachment to the U.S. Senate.
The idea that she had to rush us, that she had to get it because it was so imperative that it move forward, the idea that she wouldn't move it forward just shows the weakness of the case and, more importantly, the no need for it.
Speaking with reporters at the Capitol today, McCarthy says the only agenda Democrats in Washington have is impeachment. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo set to deliver his 10th State of the State address. Going to happen 1:30 this afternoon. The big speech will kick off the new legislative session in Albany. Republicans have picked Central New York's William Barclay to be their new minority leader in the state assembly. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The Republican Syracuse native represents New York's 120th Assembly District, which covers parts of Onondaga, Jefferson, and Oswego counties. Barclay acknowledged the challenges the state legislature will face in this session and said the one-party rule that has steered Albany for the past year has been costly and dangerous. Barclay takes the place of Brian Culp, who resigned as minority leader after he was arrested on New Year's Eve for DWI. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Medical gains against lung cancer have resulted in the steepest drop in a single year in the cancer death rate.
We saw a dramatic drop, over 2%, and the reason for that is much better treatments. Is we have molecular targeted therapy, we have immunotherapy, and we have earlier detection of lung cancer.
Dr. David Agus at the American Cancer Society says it's largely due to new treatments and a drop in the number of smokers. Snipers in South Australia are using helicopters to take out thousands of feral camels.
The long drought of the past two decades is driving the animals to leave the desert and seek water on farms, damaging crops, taps, even air conditioning units.
That's Jonathan Head at the BBC. 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Chris Anderson. And starting off the year at a very controversial subject, and this might be a time for the parents of small children to maybe usher them into another room. But Chris, we're addressing the controversy surrounding sexual orientation, and more specifically, conversion therapy with respect to sexual orientation.
Yeah, Brandon, there's probably never been a more, I guess you could say, in-your-face topic than this one, at least in our lifetimes. And clearly it's a very, very sensitive subject, both inside and outside the church, but we really do need to talk about it and at least keep the dialogue open, for sure.
I think our listeners are probably familiar with hearing this in the news frequently over the past year. Can you give us some background into it?
Conversion therapy is referring to sexual orientation therapy that is meant to help restore somebody to heterosexuality from homosexuality or bisexuality. It's oftentimes, or at least today, a lot of times sought out by people who have strong faith values and who believe that this alternative lifestyle is sinful and it's not God's plan nor design as it's revealed in the Bible to us. And so it's kind of against that backdrop that secular society really takes an issue to. And then, of course, when we see that happening and we see that society is having an issue with people of faith wanting to address this issue in a different way, that's when all of a sudden the labels of, oh, you're a hater, oh, you're a, you know, fill in the blank, phobic, whatever, we're starting to see that come out. So again, clearly very difficult issue.
It's very clearly a political issue, and legislatures seem to be moving to ban this type of therapy. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is accurate. And right now in New York State, it is against the law for a parent to take a minor to a counselor for conversion therapy. And I suspect that as this legislation gains momentum, eventually they will attempt to make it illegal for all counselors to offer this type of counseling, even to adults. It's truly a direct assault on the First Amendment. And again, another way that the government is overreaching into the private lives of citizens. Ultimately, the government is attempting to dictate what and how you are allowed to seek counseling. So it's important that people realize that this is not only what the government of New York wants, but ultimately what kind of the left-leaning folks of the nation want, to be able to dictate this nationwide as well. The politicians are using the stances of secular psychological and counseling professional organizations, in other words, the APA and the ACA, to support their move to ban this type of counseling entirely, even if it means that telling someone that basically you're not allowed to choose how you deal with your own sexuality, you will do it based on what we believe and what the APA and the ACA dictates. So basically, you know, we're going to cut the Bible out of it completely, is what the secular move is doing.
When we see these difficult topics, oftentimes we turn to the church. So from your point of view, where does the church stand on this issue?
Yeah, Brandon, the church as a whole is really all over the place on this issue. Of course, there are denominations that celebrate the alternative lifestyles and openly welcome alternative lifestyles into their congregations. And then there are those that take a firm stance based on scripture and are holding firm to the belief that God created man and woman and that alternative sexual orientations are actually a result of the fall. So there is quite a range within the church as a whole on this issue. And again, therein lies the controversy, not only between the church and secular society, but also within the church itself. Has God created this, or is it a result of the fall, is basically where we're seeing the controversy within the church itself.
So I guess the big question is, what can people do if they find themselves desiring sexual orientation counseling?
Yeah, Brandon, that is definitely a tough question, since more and more clinicians are refusing to offer it due to legal, society, and professional organization pressures against it. But people who still want to be able to choose how they deal with their issues and not wanting the government basically to tell them how to deal with it, they're going to have a harder time finding counselors that are willing to engage in this type of counseling. But there are still some Christian ministries out there that do offer it, actually, and it's just hard to find them because even within the Christian professional counseling circles, there is that division. It's still, even within Christian counselors, that division is there. Should or should not somebody try to engage in a therapy that helps to bring them back to what they believe that God really created them to be? So again, definitely a tough subject, Brandon. We need to keep the dialogue open, and again, we need to just handle the situation, obviously, as Christ would want us to.
Once again, you've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. Wednesdays during the noon report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Chris Anderson.
Great job, guys. It's called Real Answers Comes Your Way Wednesdays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Following a front, the temperatures have been dropping and those winds gusting. And the result, we've had some lake effect snow squalls in parts of the area. It's the kind of a situation you're perhaps familiar with, where you have sunshine, then you run into one of the squalls and visibility is greatly reduced for a short while. But for most, the amounts of snow will be small. In fact, by the time we get to the weekend, temperatures are heading up again, and some spring-like air arrives by Friday afternoon and Saturday. But for this afternoon, it's blustery, with sunshine, flurries, some lake squalls, blowing snow, a couple 3 inches of fluff in snowbelt areas east of the lakes, little elsewhere. Temperatures in the 20s, for the most part, wind chills, single digits, dropping the temperatures will into the teens or upper single digits tonight as lake flurries and winds subside. Then tomorrow, some sunshine, high near 30, milder Friday, cloudy, showers, and high temps in the 40s.
Okay, Kevin, finally at noon, a dream job from Disney.
It's offering a once-in-a-lifetime job. Simply go to Disney World and have fun. From the rides to the food, it's pretty much that easy. One lucky person will get paid $4,000 to test out and rate all the Florida theme parks for 3 weeks in April or May. They also get a GoPro camera to film each experience, a Fitbit to count steps, and fast passes. The job includes all travel for the employee and a friend. The application form is on Ocean Florida's website.
I could do that. Thank you, Mark. Mark Mayfield reporting. That is the world we live in for a Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.